Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading we heard a moment ago from Deuteronomy 32. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. This is God's word. Who was responsible for Jesus' death? On Palm Sunday, it's traditional that we hear the reading of the Passion, which we just heard a moment ago from Luke 23. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's to blame? Who's responsible for the death of the Son of God? Usually when we hear that story, we inevitably are accompanied by feelings of guilt that Jesus is there. If you don't hear it in the Passion reading, watch The Passion of the Christ, you know, Mel Gibson's movie that came back out in like 2004, I think it was. So many people watched that movie and they were just overwhelmed with guilt that Jesus went through this for us, because of us. He dies for sins upon the cross, but they're not his sins. He has no sins for which to die. It's your sin and my sin that put him on that cross. On that cross, he suffered agonizing pain, brutal pain that none of us can begin to contemplate. But he didn't do it for himself. It was our sin and guilt and shame that put him there, suffering, bleeding, and dying. It is our sin for which he died. Our sin that put him through agony and suffering. For the purpose of our salvation, Jesus Christ suffered and died. It is accurate to say that you and I are responsible for the death of Jesus Christ our Lord. But it could also be said that all these various characters in the Passion reading, well, they have responsibility as well. Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples, betrayed him into the hands of the Jewish leaders for 30 pieces of silver. He was definitely responsible for the death of Jesus. The Jewish leaders, the council, the priests and scribes, the Pharisees, all of them wanted to see Jesus put to death. And they were the ones that conspired with Judas to help make it happen. They are definitely responsible for the death of Jesus. Pontius Pilate is the one who ordered the death sentence. He was the only one who could issue a decree that someone should be crucified. Without Pilate's work, Jesus does not die on a cross. So yes, Pilate is responsible. And then there are the crowds. Pilate sees no guilt in Jesus, wants to set him free. But the crowds insist, crucify, crucify him. Without their urging, without their hysteria, the religious leaders would have never had the support they needed to get that crucifixion, to crucify an innocent man. So you have Judas, you have the religious leaders, you have Pilate, you have the crowds, you and me, all of us, responsible for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Old Testament reading shifts our focus to look at it from a different angle. We hear the words that Moses spoke to Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. He spoke to them a word from the Lord. And that word tells us that while, yes, you and I were responsible for Jesus' death, Judas, the religious leaders, Pilate, and the crowds, they were all responsible for Jesus' death. Ultimately, all matters of life and death are in the hands of the Lord God himself. See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Yes, you and I put Jesus on the cross with our sin. Yes, Judas and the religious leaders and Pilate and the crowds all conspired together to put Jesus on the cross. But ultimately, it's God the Father himself who puts his own son on the cross. Life and death are in his hands after all. Adam and Eve brought sin into this world through their disobedience of God in the Garden of Eden. But the curse that fell upon them was given by God. He had told them, "If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will surely die." And die they did. And so all have died since. God is the one who controls all things, who even controls life and death. Yes, you and I are responsible for Jesus' death. The characters of the Passion story are responsible for Jesus' death. And ultimately, God the Father was responsible for the death of his own son, because he is the God who kills and makes alive. Death and life are in his hands and no one else's. No one lives or dies outside of God's control. And boy, do we have a hard time accepting that. Because how many times does death seem so unfair, so unjust, so outside of what we would expect a living God to do? We will strive to control life and death ourselves, to place it in our hands, because we figure we'd be a better God to handle these things than God himself. The Israelites, as they were about to enter the Promised Land, would try to find other gods to place the control of life and death with, and those gods would fail them. Only one God, one Father, can be the God who delivers people from their enemies. Only one God and one Father is the one who shows compassion when his people are under attack. Only one God holds life and death in his hand. Though your sin and death were his reasoning, it was God, your heavenly Father, who allowed his son to die on the cross. It is God the Father who raises his son to life on Easter morning. Death and life are in his hands. He kills and he makes alive. So now here we stand on the precipice of Holy Week, turning our hearts and our minds to the passion, the suffering, and death of our Lord Jesus. And we like to manufacture guilt. I've heard Good Friday referred to as a funeral for Jesus. That's not exactly a funeral. It's a time when we see what God will do for his people, what lengths he will go to for you and me. He will kill his own son to forgive you your sin. He puts his own son to death on a cross for you. He raises his son to life on Easter for you. He kills and makes alive for you. That is the message of Holy Week. When God kills his son and makes him alive for you, it's not the only killing and making alive that he does. You see, he kills you and makes you alive as well. He puts to death that sinful nature within each and every one of us. He puts it to death so that we can be made alive as a new person in Christ. From the moment we are baptized at the font, when we are brought to the water and put to death within it, and brought forth alive as a new person. When you and I confess our sins and receive absolution, we are put to death and made alive. When we eat Christ's body and drink his blood at his holy table, we are put to death and made alive. It's what it means to be baptized. Your life is joined to Jesus because he is killed and made alive. So are you. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Your life and Jesus' life go together. Because Jesus was killed by his Father, you have been killed. Because Jesus was made alive by his Father, you have been made alive. Because Jesus is wounded, your sinful flesh is wounded. Because Jesus is healed, you are healed from sin and death as well. The best way to mark Holy Week over these next several days is to use this time as you would at any other time of the year to be killed and made alive, like your Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Receive the word of forgiveness. Hear the preaching of the gospel. Eat Jesus' body and drink his blood. Be killed and made alive, just as our Lord Jesus was killed and made alive. All your sin was put to death on the cross with your Lord Jesus Christ. You are made alive in his resurrection from the dead. Holy Week is the week of your salvation. Holy Week is the week of Jesus and you being killed and brought to life. Though the responsibility for Jesus' death can be attributed to so many, to Judas, Pilate, to you and me, it was God the Father, out of his great, great love, his unsurpassed love, who brought about salvation through a cross. It's a lesson for us to learn. I sometimes will ask our Bible study participants and people in discussion, is the cross of Jesus Christ an act of good or an act of evil? Well, on the one hand, is there any greater evil that has ever been brought about than the holy, perfect Son of God being stripped naked, beaten, whipped, and bloodied for sins he did not commit, being nailed to a cross? Is there any greater wickedness that has been done on this earth than what was done to God's own Son? And yet, not a one of us call it Bad Friday or Evil Friday. It is good. Because this horrible, terrible suffering and death inflicted on our Lord was done for you and for me. In that cross, God used it for our salvation. That's what God in his power does through his killing and his making alive. When all around we see evil and wickedness and death and terrible things, God continues his work of making all things new in his Holy Son. Be brought to life, dear friends in Christ, through the good news of the gospel. Your sin is taken away, and life eternal is yours. through the one who dies and lives again for you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand?